Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called Life's Healing Choices. In these lessons, Rick offers an in-depth biblical look at overcoming the hurts, hang-ups, and habits that hold us back in life. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how to get our brand new Daily Hope Scripture Box based on the series Life's Healing Choices. It's a great way to keep God's hopeful and healing words right at your fingertips every day. You can go to PastorRick.com or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part three of a message called The Sharing Choice.
We know that God causes all things to work together for good. Now notice, that verse does not say all things are good. They're not. There's a lot of bad in the world. There's a lot of evil in the world. If you don't believe in evil, you just travel with me around the world. I'll show you the face of evil straight up in your face. There's a lot of bad evil. When little children are stolen from their parents and sold into sex trafficking, that's evil. And when world leaders, take money and store it in Swiss account banks while their people starve to death, that's evil. When people betray each other, that's evil. When people torture each other, that's evil. There is real evil in the world. So not all things are good in the world. Cancer is bad. Molestation is bad. There's a lot of bad in the world. But it says there, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God. Now, not separately, but together. There are a lot of things that don't taste good on their own, but you mix them together, they taste good. I've used this illustration before, but I like it, so I'm gonna tell it again. When my wife makes a cake, she takes all these individual ingredients and she works them together. Now, if I go down to the kitchen and I watch her and I start getting a little anxious and I eat any of the individual ingredients, they taste bitter. I don't just naturally go into the kitchen and take a handful of Crisco and eat it. Doesn't taste good. I don't go in and automatically open up the refrigerator, take out a couple of raw eggs and suck them down. Doesn't taste good. I don't even take a swig of vanilla straight. Doesn't taste good. I don't take a flour and eat it by itself. It's dry. It's tasteless. I certainly don't take a spoonful of salt and eat it. And I wouldn't even take a cup of sugar and just eat it by itself. It wouldn't taste good. But when Kay works them all together. Shoot, you don't even have to cook it. I'll eat the batter. Okay? Don't even cook it. Just give me that cake batter and I'll just start. Now, when it's worked together, individual bitter elements actually come to taste good. Never by themselves. There are things in your life that you've experienced that were flat out bitter and they left a bad taste in your mouth. And they weren't good. They were bad. But God says, you know what? I'm bigger than the bad. And I can work it all together, and I can make a cake out of it, and it'll be delicious. And your life will be delicious. And your life will be something you take to a party. And all of those bitter elements put together, I will work them together for good. Can God really bring good out of bad? Oh, yes, He can. How about the crucifixion? The death of His Son, that was bad. They tortured Him, they spit on Him, they beat Him, and then they hung Him as a shameless criminal. Did God bring any good out of that? Oh yeah, just the salvation of the world. God specializes in bringing good out of bad. Now friends, this verse, this promise is not for everybody. We know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God. This is not a promise to everybody. It's only for those who are giving God the pieces and say, God, I love you. I take the pieces of my broken life and put them back together. If you're not following Christ, if you don't love God, if you haven't given him every piece of your life, all things are not working together for good in your life. In fact, they're working together for bad. God owes you nothing. He owes you zip. If you're going your own way, he made you and he gives you the choice to love him back and follow his way or go your own way and turn your life into a living hell. He doesn't owe you anything. This is the Burger King theology. What is Burger King theology? God gives you the choice. He says to you, have it your way. Have it your way. God's not going to force you to love him, to follow him, to obey him. He says, have it your way. And he lets you have it your way. But if you're going to have it your way, you're stuck with the consequences of it. And one day you're going to stand before God when you die, and God is going to say, okay, obviously you didn't love me, so have it your way for the rest of eternity. You didn't want me in your life here on earth. Why would you want me in your life for eternity? Be separated from me for eternity. Have it your way. You can't say, well, I want to have it my way on earth, but I want to have it God's way in eternity. That's illogical. It's stupid. It's irrational. God says, okay, I give you the choice. Have it your way on earth. But if so, you're going to have it your way for eternity, which means you didn't want me on earth, you don't want me in eternity. Be separated from me for eternity. Because you were made to last forever. And you're going to last forever either with God or without him. Now God says, I want to work all these things for good in your life. One of the great examples of this is the line of Jesus Christ in the Bible. You know, when you read the Bible, probably the most boring part of the Bible are the genealogy list. Have you ever read those things? Man, that'll put you to sleep. It's a great cure for insomnia. Okay? If you're having a hard time going to sleep, just open the Bible and find one of those passages where it gives the list of the genealogies. Start reading that. You'll go to sleep real quick. Okay? It's about the most boring, dry stuff. This guy's father was this, and his son was this, and his son was this, and his son was this. And you're going, what does this mean? Well, there's actually significance for this because one of the proofs that Jesus was the Messiah was that he would come through the genealogy, through the line of King David. And so those genealogies were important in tracing. It's just one of the many, many proofs of who the Messiah would be.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
No matter what challenges come your way, you can fill your life with hope and healing when you immerse yourself in God's Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about the brand new Life's Healing Choices Scripture Box. This unique resource will inspire and encourage you with God's Word as you learn to trust His promises through every high and low. Filled with 52 artfully designed and inspiring scripture cards, this high-quality vegan leather box looks so great, you'll be adding a bit of flair to your living space. The Life's Healing Choices Scripture Box will get you on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with His Word. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you your very own Life's Healing Choices Scripture Box. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request this great resource. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
You see, in Hebrew culture, in Jewish culture, in fact, in almost every culture, genealogical lines are traced through the father. And so they say, this guy's son was this person, and his son was this person, and his son was this person, and his son. And women in ancient genealogies were never mentioned, which makes Jesus' genealogy so unique because four women are mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. in the line of heritage. It's very significant. And when you look at those stories, every one of those four women had a very painful story to tell. The four women in Jesus' genealogies are a woman named Tamar in the Old Testament, a woman named Rahab, a woman named Ruth, and a woman named Bathsheba. These are the four women that are mentioned in the line of the Messiah, of the Savior of the world. Every one of these women had a hurt, hang up, and habit. Tamar was a mess. She was seduced by a relative. She had two different husbands, and they were both total jerks. If you go back and read the story of Tamar, it's quite explicit. It's a highly sexual scandal in this woman's life. She was not well reputation because of what happened in her life. Big sexual scandal in Tamar's life. Rahab, by the way, was a prostitute. But she did the right thing in helping some godly men, and she's in the list, Rahab. Ruth wasn't even Jewish. She was a Moabite who illegally married a Jewish man because the Jews were forbidden to marry non-Jews. So her marriage wasn't even legally recognized because she married and broke the Jewish law by marrying a Jewish man. She wasn't even Jewish herself. Bathsheba had an affair with King David, and he had her husband murdered. Not exactly stellar stories. The point is, God chose those four women to be mothers in the line that would deliver us the Savior of the world. God weaves even our mistakes and even our disappointments and even our hurts and even our sins into His plan. Now, as your pastor who loves you, I want you to follow me on this for a minute. I want you to think of the biggest mistake in your life right now that you've ever committed. Think of the biggest mistake. Think of the biggest disappointment in your life that you've experienced. Think of the biggest sin that you have committed in your life that you're most ashamed of. Think of the biggest hurt in your life. And realize this, that even before you were born, God already knew those things were going to happen in your life. And He developed a plan in advance that would bring good out of that. What a God. What a God. What a God who would already know in advance my rebellion, my sin, my stupidity, my mistakes, and the mistakes of other people, and the sins that were done against me, and the sins that were done by me. And God says, you know what? I know it even before it's going to happen, so I'm going to develop a plan and fit it into the plan and bring good out of it. What a God. That is the kind of God we worship. And that's why we can be optimistic and realistic at the same time. As followers of Jesus Christ, we don't deny our mistakes. We don't hide them in the closet. We don't pretend it didn't happen. We don't pretend we never screwed up. We don't pretend other people didn't hurt us. We're open about our feelings and our faults and our failures and our frustrations and our fears. We just go, we're trophies of grace. That in spite of all that, God still loves me, and God does not have a plan B for your life. You're not on plan B. You're still on plan A. And part of it was for you to be here today. One of God's favorite guys in the Bible is a guy named Joseph. And poor Joseph was set up for failure. He was number 11 of 12 children, and they were all boys, 12 brothers. And out of those 12, his father, Jacob, who we looked at last week or a couple weeks ago, really messed it up as a parent. And he chose Joseph to be the daddy's boy. And he set him up for all kinds of envy and resentment by the other brothers. Because Joseph was the favorite. His daddy gave him a special coat. His daddy gave him special preference. His daddy treated him better than the other kids. And the brothers hated Joseph because of what their dad did. And one day they just said, we got to get rid of this guy. And so the 11 brothers faked Joseph's death and sold him to slave traders to take him to Egypt. And they said, finished with that. They sold their brother. They hated him so much. Joseph is sold into slavery to never be heard from again in Egypt. He's bought as a slave by a man named Potiphar. And he just says, okay, I'm going to still love God. I'm going to still do the right thing. Things aren't going out the way I planned, but I'm going to serve God. And Joseph's boss, Potiphar, has a wife. And his wife comes on to Joseph. And she's attracted to Joseph. And she says, come sleep with me. And she tries to seduce him. And Joseph says, wait a minute, I'm a man of integrity. I'm not going to disobey God, and I'm not going to offend my master. I'm not going to sleep with you. And she tries to get him. She tries to seduce him. And finally, she grabs him, and she grabs his coat, and he lets go, and he runs out and leaves the coat behind. Now she's the woman scorned, and she falsely accuses him of rape. And Joseph is put in an Egyptian prison to rot for life. And the first 40 years of his life are all downhill. Now he's sitting in this prison. Would you think at that point God loved you? Would you think God knew what he was doing? Would you think God had a plan and a purpose for your life if you were Joseph at that point? Everything has gone wrong for 40 years in his life. But God had him exactly where he wanted him. And in that prison, another man who's a prisoner is a baker who had been the baker of the Pharaoh. And through a series of circumstances, steps out, Joseph's life begins to turn around, and he ends up becoming the number one assistant to Pharaoh, the second most powerful man in the world of the most powerful empire at that time. And through his wisdom, he saves the entire Middle East from famine. And he's a hero. And one day, his brothers, who are dying of starvation because of the famine, come to Egypt to get the grain because Egypt's the only one who saved the grain. And when they realize that the guy who's in charge of distributing the grain is the brother they betrayed, they think, we're dead. We're goners. It's curtains for us. And Joseph, when he sees them, without any remorse, without any regret, without any resentment, and without any bitterness, he says this, there on your outline, Genesis 50, 20. He says to his brothers, they intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good. Friends, there are people in your life who have intended to hurt you, and they meant to hurt you. They intentionally meant to hurt you, physically, emotionally, sexually, verbally. There have been parents and partners and peers and professionals and kids on the playground and all your life. There are people intended to hurt you, and they meant it for bad. But God intended it for good. It is the grace of God that gets my attention through pain. It is the grace of God that helps me learn things in the pain, and it is the grace of God that brings good out of bad. There's one other thing God wants you to share if you're going to get to the final stage of recovery. God says he wants you to share with others how Jesus gives me hope. How Jesus gives me the hope I need to change. I can tell you this. This next week, as you go out and you meet people, the grocery store, in your driveway, post office, stores, work, everybody you see this week has a hidden hurt. Everybody. Everybody you see this week has a hidden pain. Everybody. And everybody you meet this week needs massive doses of hope. And when you share hope, you will have a willing audience. So many people feel hopeless today. As a pastor, I talk to them all the time. My life is out of control. I can't seem to change. Nothing seems to work. Life has kicked the hope out of me. I feel trapped. I'm trapped in a hopeless marriage. I'm trapped in a hopeless career. I'm trapped in a hopeless crisis. I'm trapped in a hopeless addiction. I'm trapped in a hopeless health issue. Everybody needs hope to cope. Now, the best hope that helps us is the hope from somebody who says, been there, done that. Talked to a guy just last night who had been a heroin addict, and God helped him out of that, and now he knows a young boy who's involved in heroin, and he says, I sat him down and said, let me just take you through the facts of life. Been there, done that, and here's what's going to happen, and here's what you're going to end up as, and here's how you need to change. You see, that's how God wants to use you. God wants you to be a hope dispenser.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. But first, you know, no matter what challenges come your way, you can fill your life with hope and healing when you immerse yourself in God's Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about the brand new Life's Healing Choices Scripture Box. This unique resource will inspire and encourage you with God's Word as you learn to trust in His promises through every high and low. Filled with 52 artfully designed and inspiring scripture cards, this high-quality vegan leather box looks so great, and you'll also be adding a bit of flair to your living space. The Life's Healing Choices Scripture Box will get you on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with His Word. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you your very own Life's Healing Choices Scripture Box. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request this great resource. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I love getting these letters from you, and let me just read one for you today. It's from a woman named Lauren. She says, Pastor Rick, every day when I'm doing my routine tasks or I'm commuting to work, I'm listening to the Daily Hope podcast online. I listen and I re-listen and I re-listen again to all the messages, knowing the value that they've had on my life. Rick, these messages have transformed my heart from a bitter, hardened, distrustful place toward not only people but God, to being in a place where I now have joy daily. I've got a joy that is not possible without God. And not only has my life been transformed, I've seen my family's life transformed. Rick, it is through all that God has done and continues to do in this broadcast and through your life and ministry that my family has been transformed. I am excited to say that I'm now a donor to your podcast, starting with this paycheck. I've been so blessed by all you've given to us as listeners that I'm now blessed to give back. God bless you, Lauren. Well, Lauren, by the way, Lauren, if you were my daughter, you'd be Lauren Warren. Thanks for the encouragement. I'm so glad to hear how God is working in your family. And by the way, thank you for your contribution. It allows us to take this good news to other Laurens around the world and other people around the world. Your prayers and support matter. Thank you for listening. And by the way, everybody, God bless you. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.